Well, it's like we always said, like, my relationship with God is, it's not private, but it is certainly personal.
I don't see him as being human, so you can't have a human relationship with him.
Naniniwala ako na tayo ay mayroong personal na relationship sa Diyos dahil sa scripture at sa pagmamahal natin sa anak niyang si Jesus.
There are people who believe that what shirt I put on this morning, that God cared what shirt I put on. That's nonsense.
I do think God is so big and so vast that we'll never get to know him exhaustively.
I felt like I heard a voice from heaven speak to my situation and tell me that everything was going to be okay. And I've lived a blessed life since then, since turning my life to God.
You have to experience it for yourself. I think it's something hard to describe unless you're actually willing to go there.
Hi, I'm speaking on the topic of Can I Know God Personally in the Exploring God series, and it's a real privilege to talk about this. But it's a very difficult subject for me to talk about, actually. And what makes it difficult is, I could teach it on a, or preach it on a, as a professor, you know, Dr. Louis, you know, PhD, you know, in theology, and talk about all the sort of details of how we get to know God or what it is need to know God. And then there's the practical aspect of someone who actually goes to church and by and large, many people feel estranged from God and or he's distant. Not as close. They wish they knew him better. Take, for instance, my journey. When I was 7 years old, my brother and sister brought me to church, and we were not raised in a Christian family. My brother and sister are 7 and 8 years older than me, and the reason why my parents allowed them to bring me to church was to make sure I don't get in trouble, you know? Raised in Chinatown, New York City. And you know, when you're a seven-year-old, what do? You know, you don't know much. You know Bible stories. That's what I knew about God, Bible stories, and attending church on Sunday. And for the longest time, that's what I thought church was. You know, Bible stories, you know, Bible, reading from the Bible, going to church, knowing things, being somewhere. And, you know, that was seven when I was seven. Now I'm 67, so it's 60 years. And I got to say that my understanding of what it means to know God has really developed beyond that. Not that I didn't know God back then. It's that I knew things about God. You know, like Wikipedia, you know? It's a sort of, has a sort of like an encyclopedia type of format. You want to know when someone was born, you know, their achievements, what, you know, who they're married to, you know, that type of stuff. You go to Wikipedia. And oftentimes for someone who is seeking God or someone who is like actually found God, that is how we begin to know about God. Facts. Things to do, places, you know. And if you don't go to church, you know, you're going to be in trouble, you know. If you don't read your Bible, do your devotions, you're going to be in trouble, you know. And, you know, in preparing for this message, I wanted to say, you know, I wish I would have, someone would have given me this message when I was maybe 15, you know. Because this is really important for me to clarify what it means to know God. Because it's not just knowing facts about God. It's, as this question is, can I know God personally? Can I know God deeply? Can I know God personally of someone who I can trust, who cares for me? Someone who, if I spent time with, I could actually, he could rub off on me, you know? It's a very deep question, very practical, but also very theological. So we're going to try to deal with it in three questions, okay? First, can we know God personally? Second, what are the benefits of knowing God personally? That's sort of a practical question. And third is, what's the basis? Why can we know God personally? Okay. So three questions, and you know, when we get through all three, then the sermon is done. So the first question is, can I know God personally? Now, it's very important that you understand this word personally is in there. It's not just, can I know God? every religion and every group that has a spiritual, a supernatural understanding and some sort of text or ritual or tradition can say you can know God. But can you know God personally? That's very different, you see. I was raised in Chinese culture. My mother was from the homeland, you know, and was raised in sort of a folk religion, okay. You know, respect your elders, elder worship, okay? We go to the cemeteries and bring food in front of the tombstones of ancestors, okay? Ancestor worship, okay? And, you know, did they understand that there was a supernatural world? Sure they did. We'd go to the cemetery in New York City, and the reason why we'd go, because if you don't go, then the ancestors above you will not help you, and you will not get the favor or blessing from them. It's also a sign of respect and continuation of care for them in the Netherlands, okay? So, you know, supernatural knowing God was bringing food, okay, to them and burning fake money in front of the tombstone. Also in Chinese culture, there's this thing called the I Ching, which is the book of changes. And it's a book of divination. It's a book where I really don't know how it works. Okay, there's like, but if you want to find out what you are to do or answer some questions, you use this ancient book of divination and they can tell you how to do it. There's also Chinese astrology. Sometimes, you have, the year of the rat, the year of the monkey. I was born in the year of the monkey, okay? So in Chinese astrology, certain combinations don't match up well in marriage, okay? And you go to some of these old school Chinese astrologists, they'll say, oh, no, this is the worst combination you could have because, you know, these two astrological signs mean they're going to be each other's necks, okay? So this understanding of the supernatural, it's not a personal God, okay? You can know things about what you should do, the existence of something beyond, but you never know God, okay? And then there are the basically monotheistic religions of this world that is sort of like, okay, I'll put in an upgrade, okay? That you can know God, Judaism, Islam, okay? And you could have various degrees of zealous adherence, okay, and obedience. And there's usually, you know, it could be a lot of prayer, a lot of worship, a lot of sacrifice involved. You can even that in Christianity, okay? That's sort of a monotheistic. We go to a place, we bow down, we pray, we give money, okay? Now, those types of religions usually have much more doctrine involved. Books, Quran, Old Testament, okay? And so you can know a lot, and there's a lot of adherence. Now, when we talk about can you know God personally, it is now going beyond the Eastern and the monotheistic, major monotheistic religions of this world. Because personally is very different. It's very, very different. And one of the difficulties in even getting this message is like, okay, how do I describe it, okay? Now, in the New Testament, there are many different analogies that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, gives in terms of the relationship that we have in Christ, okay? Now, before Christ, you had Old Testament, okay? And it was basically a temple. You go there, do sacrifices, okay? And you had the law of Moses, a lot of obedience, very strict, very detailed obedience. But when Christ comes, it's a little different, okay? Here are some of the analogies. Well, one of the big ones is, I wrote them down, I've got to have the verses here. This is in John chapter 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, which is sort of like an Old Testament look. You know, this is what I say, this is what you do. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Oh, that's actually a major sort of theme in John chapter 15. I called you friends. Huh, that's different. Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12, I'll read the verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. And it's talking about how each person who is a follower of Jesus is a sort of like a weave together in the body of Christ. It's physiological sort of closeness, you know? We're all one, functioning together. Well, that's the second major analogy. You have other analogies. The writer John in the book of the Revelation, we're the bride of Christ. It's a very relational, intimate relational, you know? Paul writes in the book of Romans, you know, how the indwelling spirit prays for us in ways that we don't even know how to pray for ourselves. That's really intimate, relational. Jesus talked about a great one, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I'm going to read it here. It's in my printout here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. How's that? That's sort of like going to a friend's house, you know, chowing down, watching a Super Bowl game, you know, eating chicken wings, you know. That type of casual dining and intimate dining and friend dining. And that, for me, probably captures at the heart of what this relationship that we can have with God can be. Beyond the, you know, the vague Eastern, you know, I do these things, you know, I go to this book, I find out what I should do, or the monotheistic religions where it's like, oh, I go to a place, I bow down, and the more you adhere and the more you are zealous, the more blessing you get. It's very different. It's very, very personal. And that's found throughout the New Testament. Not that Jesus is not to be worshipped, okay? Not that we don't give Jesus a reverence, okay? We are to do that. But then we are also to understand and take advantage of the ability to have a personal relationship and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing thing, because it is what separates what it means to be a follower of Christ from followers of other religions. Because it's more than just piety or attending some sort of building or temple or mosque or synagogue or church. It's that relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ that is very deep. And to be honest, I wish I knew that when I was a 7-year-old going to church and in my early years. Because oftentimes when you're sort of like, you go to church, it becomes a bunch of, okay, here's what you know, here are the stories, this is what you do. And they never really get to the heart of what it means to know God. It's not here only. It kind of begins up here, you know. But it really like deeply marinates in the soul to know God. So we dealt with the first question. Can we know God? The second question is, what are the benefits of knowing God? Are there any benefits? Anything good? And the answer is definitely so. And this is the question that oftentimes people who even are believers in Jesus go to church, fail to grasp. So whether you are someone seeking, an explorer, or someone who is a veteran Christian, I think this second question will help us all. What are the benefits of knowing God? The writer Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, but now you have come to know God, or rather be known by God. This is interesting, Apostle Paul turns the table. A question you want to ask in this message, can I know God? Apostle Paul twists the table. Hey, you know, there's actually a bigger thing going on than you knowing God. The bigger thing is that God knows you. That's like really like, wow, Do you know the ramifications of that? That God knows you. God knows you in so many different ways. Book of the Revelation, you know, Book of Life, Lamb's Book of Life. My name's in that thing. And everyone who is a follower of Jesus, the name is in that thing. He knows it by name. It's not just, hey, you. You know, to know someone's name is kind of important. But for God to know my name, and God knowing every name individually, you know, as a pastor for so many years, I'm still sort of a, you know, part-time functioning pastor, you know. One thing that goes when you get older is you forget people's names. God will never forget my name. Not only that, according to the book of Matthew and the section about the Lord's Prayer, you know, in chapter 6, Jesus says, you know, God knows what you need even before you ask. Wow. What's the purpose of prayer then? Isn't praying, you know, like, you know, the grocery list, you know, and yeah, while you're at it, Jesus, I need a dozen eggs, you know? Because God already knows, it doesn't mean you don't ask, but it puts asking under the umbrella that God already knows. Which is this line like, he knows me that well that he knows what I need before I ask? Oh yeah, he not only knows your name, he not only knows what you need before you ask, he knows even more about you than those things. Apostle Paul writes, no temptation has taken you that there's not a way out. He knows your limitations, liabilities, weaknesses, and can craft situations around you that you can succeed. He gifts us, sometimes according to our abilities, okay? It's incredible. He knows us so much that one of the most dearest, endearing sort of analogies is when Jesus talks about, you know, those you gave me, I hold them tightly in my hand. That's sort of like a prized possession, you know. I'm not going to let them go, you know, because they're mine. I'm going to protect them. You know, we are known by God, and that's a great thing. And it'll be transform how you see your life and your confidence, where you put it in life. Sometimes people are stressed out. Just living in the Bay Area is stressful, man. Just the economy is not at a good time. Prices, just like inflation, is through the roof. Rising crime. You know, I'm like, yeah, park my car to tape this. My catalytic converter gonna be, you know, there when I get out and finish taping. You know, it'll be there. It's an 18-year-old car. No one wants that. Okay, so I got confidence in that. But there's a lot of tension and stress we have. When you have kids, you know, what are they gonna do? You know. You know, because just like it's compounded in our lives. And oftentimes I say, does God know me? Does he know my mess? And the answer is yeah. He knows you so well that he's even praying for you through the Spirit all the time. And that sort of brings tears to my eyes. Because the problem of, is God a stranger, isn't really from God's end. It's from my end. Once I believed in Jesus as a 7-year-old, Jesus says, you'll never be a stranger to me. You will always be close to me. You just got to take advantage of that, Jeff. Now, besides God knowing us, because we think we just know God, but in truth, the Apostle Paul says, yeah, but rather you are known by God. We are actually transformed into the image of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This first John, the whole book is about, focuses about the love of God, and not only the need to do, because he wants you to practice love, but he ties in love with the knowledge of God, that you can't uncouple the two. You say you know God, then you know of God's love, you know of God's love, then you will express God's love to people. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you can't, you know, be critical of someone, tell someone they're wrong. Doesn't mean you're perfect, you know? Doesn't mean there's not such a thing as righteous anger. You know, I think what's happening in this world, especially in the Middle East, I got a lot of righteous anger, But there's something about when you know God and you know him more than just, oh, these are Bible stories to know and a place to go to listen to a message. And you begin to know God deeply in terms of relationally, fellowshipping, in prayer, and knowing what he knows about you, he rubs off on you. It's just not a bunch of rules that you are to do. You reflect who God is, and you understand his love, and you become more like that. I'm not saying I'm perfect. You know, and then when you live life long enough, you know you're not perfect. Not perfect husband, not a perfect pastor, not a perfect father, not a perfect grandfather, okay? But you know what? I'm better than I used to be. And I'm more gracious than I used to be. And that's based upon personally knowing Jesus Christ, not just facts or places to go or things to do, but really being enriched by my interaction with him. The final question is, why is this ability to know God personally even possible? How can it be? You know, what makes it so that in following Jesus in Christianity, we can actually have a knowledge of God beyond vagueness and fuzziness, beyond a sort of a distant God that we worship and we give money to and we pledge our allegiance to, but a God who we sort of can interact? How can it be? Because this is what makes Christianity different from any other religion or faith in this world. Absolutely different. Here's a passage. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, but I'm going to go all the way to verse 11 now. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this is the love of God. Oh, no, I misread it. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Why can we know God personally? Because God sent his son to die on a cross for me. The greatest expression of love to deal with the major problem that causes the problems of this world, the failure, inability that we all have, that you see all around you at this time. Jesus came to forgive. And once that forgiveness is granted to me, through an acceptance of what Jesus has done for me, you know, it begins the whole process, you know, a journey to know him personally, to know that he knows me better than I know myself, and to know that he will care for me, and slowly but surely, I will be like him. Not that I'm divine, but I'll have a little resemblance of the graciousness that Jesus Christ had for me. So I don't know where you are today. I came in to explore about, you know, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a Christian. You know, you may be, you know, not sure whether you want to sort of, you know, sign up. That's a crass way of putting it, sign up. That's the only thing that came to my mind, okay? I hope this helps you understand the value of Jesus Christ. For some of you, you've been in church for a while, but being a Christian is just knowing things and doing things. Well, that was me for a long time. We need to begin to just progress further and have the love of God really begin to penetrate our souls so that we can truly interact and fellowship and love and be loved, know and be known by God himself.
More than I can comprehend, more than I can understand, yeah, you've given me the chance to know you, to know you. Soul, I have witnessed a mystery I can't put into words. When I try to explain you, it just doesn't describe. You're in every direction before our eyes. More than I can comprehend, more than I can understand, yeah, you've given me the chance to know you, to know.
To know.
depths of my soul. I have witnessed a mystery I can't put into words. When I try to explain you, it just doesn't describe. You're in every direction before our eyes.
Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us a chance to know you, a chance to receive you, a chance to believe in you. You've opened up the door to relationship, but you won't force us. You invite us to accept you for who you are. And I pray even now, Lord, if there's anyone out there who is right there, so close to saying, Jesus, I open up my life to you. I want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Do it. You'll never regret it. Jesus said he stands at the door and he knocks. He's asking, will you let me in? The choice will be ours always. And for those of us who've made that decision, let's stay on that journey. Stay in that relationship. Let's nurture it. Let's give it our best. Let's give him our first, not our last, not our leftovers. Come on. He's worth it. The relationship's worth it. May his grace flow over all of you. May his love and life be yours, now and forever, in Jesus' name.